Welcome to the Head and Heart of Probecast. I'm Tom Davis.
I'm Kyle Skaggs.
Today we're discussing church discipleship and how the church treats LGBTQ people.
So I will open us up with a Bible verse. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. So the reason I read that verse is because I saw a news article that was published a few days ago titled Rainbow Steps Outside Historic Dallas Church Approved by City's Landmark Commission. Basically, this church had to show solidarity with the LGBT plus community. They painted their steps in a rainbow color. And they said, this is our way of speaking to our community, of sharing a message of boldness and courage that you, who you are is beloved and worthy of dignity and belonging. So it's been approved to stay for at least 3 more years by the city's Landmark Commission. And that's not really what's important to us here. It's more about the message that the church was saying about itself. We're not really concerned about the whole politics of it all. We're more concerned with the spiritual state of the church. And this is an issue that is being dealt with churches pretty much across the Western world.
Yeah, and we're looking at the website now. This is what the website of that church says. It says, quote, that it is, quote, is proud to be a reconciling congregation. And also, quote, this means we publicly affirm our commitment to full inclusion of LGBTQ plus persons in every aspect of church life, leadership, marriage, ordination, and membership. And this becomes a big problem. Before I get into the following verses, I want to say something real quick. One of the objections to conservative Christians saying that homosexuality, LGBTQ, is immoral is they will say, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus affirmed all of Scripture. He cited, you know, Leviticus is in the Torah, the first 5 books. He cited that as authoritative.
Yeah.
He cited the prophets as authoritative.
He's a first century rabbi.
Yeah, Jewish rabbi. And also, we know what his apostles taught. Paul, even though Paul probably didn't see Jesus during his lifetime, even if he did, he wasn't a disciple of Jesus during his lifetime. But Paul still reaches the status of apostle. He's still called by Jesus, by God, to be an apostle. So Paul's letters are every bit as authoritative as any other part of the Bible. And so when we look at this, we come to Leviticus 18:22. Says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman, it is an abomination. So, two men can't sleep together is what this is saying. And this is in Leviticus, part of the Torah, part of the first 5 books, the Pentateuch. We also find in Paul, one of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Or do you know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So when we're looking at this, we see in this that homosexuality is mentioned in a long list of other things that people that will not inherit the kingdom. And to associate, you know, homosexuality with some of this, I know is offensive, but we cannot be inoffensive just to make them comfortable, just to kind of get along with the rest of culture. And one of the things that they will throw out is that word homosexuality. They'll say, no, those are two Greek words. The Greek words, I'm not a person that understands Greek, but I've done a little bit of research on this. These Greek words has one word that would be a male active in sexuality, and the other one would be the passive male, and that's what it stood for. And we know that because we have the Greek writings that describe the same thing. So it's clearly, just by these two passages alone, it's clearly unbiblical to fully accept a homosexual into church membership or church leadership. And it's not trying to be mean, it's trying to be faithful to God and Scripture.
So, again, we're doing this out of concern for the spiritual state of the church, because every denomination is struggling with this issue. You have Baptist churches struggling with it, you have the Methodists struggling with it, Anglicans are struggling with it. In fact, they split recently over it. Presbyterians are struggling with it. So it's affecting the entire church in the Western world, at least. And so it's important that we address it as accurately and as Christ-like as we can. And so we're called to be set apart. We're called to be holy so that we can worthily act as representatives of Christ. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So this doesn't mean that we shut ourselves off from the world and look out the church windows and say, "Be gone, sinners!" No, that's not how we're supposed to do it. We throw the doors open. We welcome the people with open arms, those who will come. And we teach, we disciple them. Jesus, he ate and drank with sinners. He went to their houses. He ministered to them. He was basically loving on them. But the distinction between what Jesus did and what some of these churches are doing is Jesus did not call their lifestyles holy. Because when we paint, say, the pride flag, or when we're stand before the altar and wed people of the same sex before God, we are declaring that this kind of lifestyle is holy. And yet the scriptures explicitly teach that they are not holy. I mean, the Bible warns against this kind of teaching, and this teaching that is contrary to scripture. It warns against us leading others into sin, and by implication, against misrepresenting God's word. And those of us who teach God's word, we take on a great responsibility. The Bible says that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. That's in James chapter 3, verse 1. And so what we need to do as a church is to faithfully and accurately represent Christ to the culture. So because of this, we can't allow homosexuality to be in the church, especially in these, in like leadership roles, because those people who are leading are, again, ambassadors for Christ. You're supposed to be leading as an example of what it looks like to follow Christ. And in the same way, we can't allow a pastor to cheat on his wife, because that misrepresents that misrepresents Christ. Do you have anything to say on that?
Yeah. There's another thing. This would apply to all Christians, because Kyle's definitely right. When you're a position of a leadership, which would be a pastor, a teacher, Sunday school teacher, you know, whether it's a lay leader, for the high church, Anglicans, bishops, deacons, all of those, when you're in those positions, you're under more scrutiny. It's kind of the same thing. So I'm a military guy. I'm a military brat. I spent 8 years in the Navy. The higher rank you get, the more scrutiny you're under, no matter what it is you're doing, whether you're just walking down the street out in town or whether you're actually on the job commanding your people. The higher rank you are, the more scrutiny you're under. And that's kind of the way it works with teachers in Christianity. And but it's also something that, you know, the average church member should be worried about too. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. He says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." So we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Christ. Because we belong to Christ, we glorify, take care of our bodies.
Right. And so as a Christian, it's okay if you are struggling with homosexuality. It's okay if you're just like it's okay if you're struggling with any other kind of sin. And the reason why is because as a child of God, that is not who you are. You, like, your identity is in Christ. It is not in your lifestyle. And so for that reason, a Christian, who is like doing homosexual things doesn't do them for long, because as the process of sanctification goes on, you become more capable of resisting the temptations that the old you would have just jumped headlong into. You're a new creation. You're called to be holy.
Yeah, so we're called to be holy, and we're called to be holy in every aspect of our life. We are not just fumbling around trying to follow God. We represent God to other people, and right. So how we present ourselves is important. I almost can't stress that enough when it comes to these types of topics.
Right. Even if in your day-to-day life it absolutely does feel like you are fumbling around trying to follow God, that's just how the sanctification goes.
Yeah, we're all fumbling around trying to follow God, so don't think you're alone in that.
Yeah. But anyway, do you have any final, conclusions or comments?
Yeah, I would say with this, we have to be faithful to Scripture. That's a big problem in the church right now, is being faithful to Scripture. And new ways of interpreting and twisting Scripture to make it fit what we want. The passages have been clear, and historically the church, up until, probably 1960s or so, has been consistent almost in every aspect on this issue. And this doesn't mean, I don't want to give people permission, so please don't take this as permission. This doesn't mean if you slip up in a moment of weakness that you're done. If you slip up in a moment of weakness, repent. Go to your pastor, go to your mentor. Repent and be open with it. And then get with them and try to figure out how to avoid getting in that situation again. And that would apply to all sin, not just this. And so we need to take that discipleship seriously. We need to take the community seriously, the church's community, because that community is the body of Christ to the world. And their only real way to live as a Christian is to live with loyalty to Christ. And God, in a sense, gave us the Scriptures so that we could study them and understand how to follow Christ.
Right. Yeah, Christ died for all people, And those who accept that should no longer be living for themselves, but for Christ, because Christ died for them and then was raised again. I guess my parting comment just would be that the church's witness grows from what is revealed to us in Scripture. And it's that Christ died for all people so that they could be reconciled with him. Oh, if you want to support our ministry in Probe, please like, comment, share, subscribe.
Yep. Come to our website.
Come to our website.
Come
to Mind Games Camp.
If you are an adult and have high school students, take a look into our Mind Games Camp. We cover human sexuality as one of the talks there, as well as a whole list of other other topics that are important.
Yes. And so, see y'all around.
Bye.